south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Remember a while back on St. Paddy's Day, we were talking about the luck of the Irish? Well, talk about luck or serendipity or chance, when we all know there's such a thing called dumb luck, too. I guess that's what happens when you win the lottery twice. I still don't understand how that happens. It just doesn't seem possible mathematically. Some guys win it three times. That would be like trillion to one odds. Come on. Hey, but it has happened anyway. Just last week, believe it or not, Guatemala completely lifted its ban on having people enter the country vaxxed. They decided to follow in the logical footsteps of Mexico, El Salvador, Dominican Republic, etc., etc., and allow people to enter unvaxxed. Of course, they're still requiring one of the idiotic PCR or antigen tests. But hey, you can't win them all. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is because I just got done with my seminar a couple weeks ago, right? And if that seminar had just launched 3 weeks later, we wouldn't have had to go through all the mess of bringing half the people into Guatemala who were vaxxed and the other half into El Salvador who weren't vaxxed. Oh well, it's after the fact, and the seminar was a big success. But man, the logistics would have been so much easier if Guatemala would have given us a heads up on the dropping of that vax entry requirement. Though it is good news for anyone planning on traveling there from now on. Though as more and more countries come on board to drop those vax requirements, it certainly points out what a bunch of numbnut idiots they were for doing it in the first place.
Duh. Double duh.
Yet you still see lots of fools, mostly gringos and gringas, running around with masks and face shields on, both outdoors and in their cars. Wankers, all of them, as the Brits would say. Anyway, I thought I'd start out the show today by reading a very different kind of email from Karen. Yep, that's right, Karen. Karen, you must be taking a lot of heat for that name these days. Sorry about that. I know the decision was made long ago by your parents, and sure, in the future, when people look up the most popular names for kids, there won't be any Karens. Just like in Australia, after the new millennium, parents quit naming their kids Sheila. But you knew that already, right? Or did you? Anyway, Karen says, I'm a longtime listener, Johnny, and I'm not an entitled snotty white woman either. At least I don't think I am. Anyhow, I've been listening to and enjoying your show for over 10 years. I have a question for you, but it's on the personal side. Have you ever been propositioned by email? Just wondering. By the way, this is not a proposition. I think. Signed, Karen from Minneapolis. All right, Karen. There's more to her email. Maybe we'll get to it later. I'd just like to say for the record right now that everyone I know who's got WhatsApp has been propositioned not once, but a number of times. You know, I have WhatsApp by default. I don't like it, and I almost never use it, but you need it for plumbers and electricians and doctor's appointments, stuff like that. Believe me, down here in Latin America, if you don't have it, people look at you like you're from another planet. Problem is, though, with WhatsApp, people will contact you right out of the blue. In fact, I'd say at least every week, I get some WhatsApp message from an unknown person, often accompanied by a very sexy profile picture. And I always hit the button that says, I don't wish to accept that contact. Then it's over with. You never get contacted by that scammer again. And they are scammers, 99% of them. The problem is, you know, if you just accept one of those contacts and start chatting, I'm talking about those out-of-the-blue scammers that mostly consist of girls in bikinis, lingerie, or even less. Once you accept them as a contact, you become a mark and they pass your WhatsApp number around to other similar scammers. And suddenly, all kinds of unsolicited WhatsApp contacts start coming your way, all accompanied by very sexy profile shots. And the only way you can stop the deluge from coming is to get a new WhatsApp number. By the way, you've heard me say many times that you should use the Signal app. It's just like WhatsApp, except nothing is saved in the cloud. Your messages are yours and the other person you're talking to. That's it. And if you eliminate a message or some chat, it's gone forever. And you never get prompted with a message that says, do you want us to save these messages in the cloud? Like you get every once in a while with WhatsApp. Whether you say yes or no, they're still being saved. Now, as for getting those unsolicited sexy contacts and photos on WhatsApp, I'd be willing to bet that most of the time, those photos aren't even real. They're some boiler room scam operation, pumping out that tempting, sexy junk because they know average guys, guys like my brother, are suckers for that kind of stuff. But the truth is, it's a business. There are actual sex scam call centers with thousands of girls, maybe they're not even girls, with sob stories, and they eventually get around to asking you for money. Not a lot at first. Though after they've sunk the hook, the stakes get higher. And they've got maybe 10 or 20 guys on the line that are sending them money every month. The excuses are always the same. They're having a rough patch. The iPhone broke or got stolen. Their rent's due. Grandma got mugged. Aunt Josie needs an operation. Or Uncle Tito fell and broke his dentures. They've got all the excuses to pull on your heartstrings. And guys, especially older idiot American guys, like my brother, fall for it. And $100 here and there, not going to break the bank. But imagine a girl or a guy, whoever it is on the other end of that line, juggling 10 or 20 gullible gringos. That's generally true. And my brother found that out when the ladies he was talking to just wouldn't do a live video chat with him. They had 101 excuses why they couldn't. Number one, the internet, the Wi-Fi, or their phone was on the blink. Which we know is BS because the internet is never that bad. Or the phone's camera's on the blink. Yeah, right. Young ladies live for their selfies and videos. Come on. Now, not so long ago, my brother, you know, our stem cell poster child, he fessed up and said over 50 sexy girls had made contact with him on WhatsApp. He said he didn't go after them. They came after him. He'd figured a lot of them were scammers and he'd blocked them, but new ones just came popping up. And man, with all those girls hitting him up online, he asked me to help out, and I told him to get on Signal. And he did, but he still has that what's up crap running in the background. But the story gets uglier. Yes, he was sending $100 here and there to different ladies, who most certainly weren't ladies at all. By the way, my brother's a single guy, a widower. His wife died about 5 years ago. So he's kind of a perfect mark for these young ladies, sexy internet scammers, who again, are probably not young ladies at all, but call center sex scammers. Though I'm sure some of them are not that organized. They're just scamming guys on their own from home. Usually in cahoots with a boyfriend who's controlling them, believe it or not. Now remember, when a beautiful, sexy girl contacts a guy out of the blue, there's something really abnormal about that. For one, you tell me what beautiful, sexy girl doesn't have a boyfriend or two or ten? And what sexy girl needs to go online to find a guy? Oh, and all claim to be unattached and nursing a broken heart. And their last boyfriend cheated on him. Well, I can believe that. And you can bet if any of these ladies are actually real, I'm sure a percentage of them are. But they're surely very damaged goods with lots of baggage, namely kids and abusive parents and boyfriends. And how can I make a blanket statement like that? Well, let me tell you another little lonely heart story my brother admitted to. Oh, and just for the record, my brother wasn't on the Latin American Cupid dating sites. He was on the American First World Lonely Hearts dating sites. Though I'm sure he would have tried out the Latin Cupid dating sites, but his Spanish was too crappy to maneuver successfully through it. Though now I understand those Latin Cupid dating sites have a translation button. But still, that's not going to work face-to-face or on video calls, which, as mentioned earlier, the girls in bikinis and lingerie will make up any excuse to get out of. Those girls who aren't what they pretend to be will opt out any way they can. So then you might ask, are all those Cupid sites complete trash? Well, no. And here's the thing, regards to you lonely heart males out there. There are some definite ways to tell if a girl's on the up and up. For example, if a lady sends you or posts photos of her and her family playing in the backyard, petting the dog, hanging out or dancing at a quinceañeros party, and there's no or very minimal sexy lingerie shots, like one in 20 pics, then she's more than likely the real thing. And most importantly, she will do a live video call with you anytime, at the drop of a hat. Not one that's pre-planned 4 days from now at 7:30 at night. So if she's passed those few tests, then she is more than likely a real flesh and blood girl who's more or less what her profile suggests. Then again, only you know how much you BS'd on your own profile. However, even if she's 100% real, that's not to say she's not going to ask you for money. Because most of those ladies wouldn't be on those sites if they weren't a bit hard up, especially the Latinas. Now, this might sound a little bit classist, racist, and sexist. I guess I'll be hitting the cancel culture trifecta here. All right, here goes. I never met a class of person so terrible at handling money than Latinos and Latinas. In my many years down here, I've met dozens, if not hundreds, of Latinos and Latinas from every walk of life, rich, middle class, and poor, and most all of them seem to spend everything they make. Like Americans, I guess, 80% of them couldn't come up with $500 if their lives depended on it. Even professionals like doctors and lawyers, the ones that are seemingly making big bucks, Big Bucks Latin style anyway, because you know, down here, even an MD, engineer, lawyer, or dentist starts out his career, unless he's working for daddy, making, if he's lucky, $1,000 a month. In fact, I've told the story many times that if you want your own personal doctor, your living doc, that would cost you at least a couple $100,000 in the States, right? I'm sure you've heard that many wealthy celebrities have their own live-in personal physicians, like, for example, Michael Jackson and Prince. A lot of good it did them, huh? Anyway, I know for a fact that a young MD graduating from medical school here in Latin America, even after doing a hospital residency, is lucky if, with his first job, he makes $1,000 a month, and many will work for $600 or $700 a month when they first get out. Imagine that. Down here in Latin America, you could have a live-in MD for less than $1,000 a month. Hell, in the States, only one in maybe 200 families can afford a live-in nurse. That would cost you $50,000 to $80,000 a year. And down here, you could easily contract one of those for $300 to $500 a month. That's why I think it's absolutely ridiculous to put your old parents or uncle or whoever in an odoriferous nursing home for $50,000 to $100,000 a year in the States, when you could bring them down here to Latin America, have them live in their own room in your house with a live-in nurse in the room right next door. And to me, one of the worst things about shoving a family member into a nursing home is the guilt you feel about it. To be brutally honest, everyone wants to die or live out their last remaining years in the comfort of their own home around their loved ones, right? And shoving someone in a nursing home is like walking them through death's door. And ultimately, it's you that made that decision because you just can't handle them at home anymore, right? But if you had a live-in nurse, you could. But I digress. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Talking about how Latinos and Latinas of all economic backgrounds are absolutely terrible with money. Even the ones just barely scraping by don't know how to price shop. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that until maybe about 10 years ago, until Walmart, Costco, Ace Hardware, and the big commercial centers came, the big massive malls, Latin Americans had very little variety when choosing things to buy. For example, when I first got down here, there were only three brands of television you could buy: Sony, Panasonic, and a funky off-brand from China. Same thing with kitchen appliances. There were just two or three different brands of washing machines, microwave ovens, or ceiling fans. Back then, even pharmacies had only one brand of aspirin, Bayer. And many times when you went to a hardware or appliance store, whatever, they were out. Whatever you were looking for, you couldn't even find it. So early on, I'm talking scores and scores of years ago, Latin Americans learned to buy what was available on the shelves because it just might not be there next week. And I really think that's why nowadays, when they've got 5 or 10 different brands to choose from, they just picked a brand they're used to. Whereas many, if not most Americans, especially when they're buying a big ticket item like a TV, washing machine, or dryer, they'll check out the blogs, the critics' choices, consumer reports, etc. But get this, there is no equivalent to consumer reports in the Spanish language. Though you can get consumer reports translated into Spanish, but it's not the same thing. Now, you might say with eBay and Amazon and such, you can just scroll down and look at the consumer ratings on a particular product. Well, that's very misleading, you know. It's really hard to tell which reviews are real and which are staged. Turns out most of those 4- and 5-star reviews on Amazon and such are plants. But you knew that already, right? We dissected that on a show a couple years back. You longtime listeners remember that? Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. My brother and his online girlfriends. When he admitted there were over 50 girls in contact with him on WhatsApp, he was sort of proud of that, bragging a little like he was some kind of rock star. Nearly all of them had posted sexy lingerie shots, even nude shots. What a red flag. But he got suckered and took the bait. So much so that, get this, he sent 100 here and there to some of them. But 2 in particular he sent well over $1,000 to. Not at the same time, of course. 2 separate incidents. A couple G's to a girl from the Philippines and a couple G's to a girl from Nevada or somewhere out west. The money was to be used for plane tickets to come and visit him in Chicago. And guess what? With the first lady, he went to the airport and she never showed up. He stood around for 4 hours waiting. And just a couple months later, the girl from Nevada, same thing. He went to the airport, she never showed up. Come on, how sad is that? And how terrible would you feel standing at the airport, holding the bag and feeling like a fool? But my brother, he sucked it up and even told my sister and mother about it. The guy's got thicker skin than I have. Kind of wonder why he did that. I mean, really, if you're going to make a fool of yourself, why let everyone else in on it? And I had a man-to-man talk with him. I said, how many of those fantasy beauty queens are you sending money to? How many are you still talking to? And you know what he said? No more than the next guy. You know, I love that answer. No more than the next guy. It always reminds me of a story my sister, the dentist, told me. Turns out she's got a patient named Scotty Irish. How do you get a name like that? Scotty Irish. Is he Scotch or is he Irish? Real nice, handsome, happy-go-lucky guy, too. But she just can't get the guy numb, she says. Comes in for his dental treatments, she shoots him to the max, and he still feels it. He still jumps out of the chair. So one day, she said, after he practically jumped through the ceiling, she said, "Scotty, by any chance, do you use cocaine?" And he said, "Me? Cocaine? Well, no more than the next guy." Which brings us full circle back to Karen's email. She says, "Johnny, have you ever been propositioned by email?" Well, Karen, I have to say, yes, I have. Quite a few times, actually. But only one, or maybe it was two, sent me naked photos so far. Believe me, I don't encourage it, but it does happen. Though I have to admit, when I was doing my regular radio show here in Latin America from around the year 2000 to 2008, you longtime listeners might remember I was the morning and evening drive-by guy in many of the big city Latin American radio markets. Well, back then I took listener calls and quite a few ladies laid a few hints on me both on and off the air. In fact, one lady, whose English was almost perfect, by the way, because she went to helicopter schools, her parents had money. She was quite attractive too, but she became kind of a stalker. She used to show up at all the extracurricular events I used to host. Harley runs and Hooters parties, they were my sponsors, you know. She'd show up at Gold's Gym and events at shopping centers I'd MC, and bar and restaurant and hotel and disco gigs where my band would play. Well, like I said, she used to call the show all the time, so I got to talking to her. One day she said she was going to Spain to go to graduate school, you know, entitled Children of the Rich and all that. I didn't give her any reason not to. She just wasn't my type. Just a little too pushy. Anyway, I didn't hear from her for a couple of 3 years, and suddenly she called in on my radio show again. I spoke with her a little bit off the air. She said she'd gone to Spain, got her master's, married a Spanish guy, got divorced because he cheated on her, and now she was back in Guatemala again. And I thought, oh no, not again. This time, though, she was more subdued, probably because she had a kid. She wasn't so pushy. She wasn't so determined. So anyway, Karen, that should answer your question. Now, as for my wayward brother and his fantasy girlfriends that had been milking him for a couple of years now, well, the good news is on his treks back and forth to the Dominican Republic, the DR, to get those stem cell treatments, he met a beautiful, real live girl face to face in the DR, and now they're an item. She's a girl with a real job and no kid baggage, going to university night school. Yep, he seems to have hit the jackpot with her, but she speaks no English and his Spanish sucks. So for now, anyway, it's kind of a Google lost in translation relationship. Not the best, not really satisfactory, but little by little, his English will rub off on her and her Spanish on him. Though admittedly, people think Google translates some wonderful thing, but really it's just a crutch. Sort of like never taking the training wheels off your bike. Oh, and by the way, remember I said that everyone here in Latin America is on WhatsApp? Well, of course, so is my brother's Latina girlfriend. And the first thing she did was take his phone and check out his WhatsApp. And when she saw all those other bikini-clad girls on there, she had a fit, a conniption. Do they still say that, conniption? Well, my mother still does. Anyway, as mentioned, even when my brother deleted all those fake fantasy girls, new ones kept popping up. His only recourse, get a new chip, new WhatsApp number, or new real flesh and blood girlfriend. Because his present Latina girlfriend's not dealing with it so well. Now remember, I'm going to warn all you guys and gals out there just one more time. Guys, if you get a Latina girlfriend, and ladies, if you get a Latino boyfriend, they're going to take your telephone. That means you'll have to give them your password. Oh, and they'll be checking your history too, just in case you deleted a lot of stuff before you handed the phone over. You know, sometimes when you delete your history, it's not completely deleted. It's still recoverable, and they know how to do it. So why all the mistrust and suspicion? Problem is, here in Latin America, there's a whole lot of cheating going on. And as far as love, romance, mating, and dating, words are all fine and well, but you know, a picture's worth a thousand of them, right? And for Latinos and Latinas, the telephone is the lie detector of last resort. But still, there's a workaround. There's a hack. That's why so many Latin guys I know have two cell phones. One for the wife or girlfriend and the regular WhatsApp stuff, and one for those liaisons and all that cheating around. In fact, I don't know if I told you this. I have a 30-something Latino guy friend who's had an exclusive Latina girlfriend for over 5 years. At least she thinks she's exclusive. What she doesn't know is he's got another phone with, get this, 5 other girlfriends on it. Girls he sees here and there somewhat regularly. And when I asked him how he gets away with it, he says, simple. He doesn't live with his exclusive girlfriend. That would ruin it, he said. He'd definitely get caught. But man, when you think of the logistics of having 5 girlfriends and a steady girlfriend, talk about stress. I even said to him, there's so many ways you could screw up and get caught. But he said he's been caught. But the fact is, Latinas are so used to their guys cheating on him. They blow up at first, but soften up later. His steady, quote, exclusive girlfriends caught him cheating at least 3 or 4 times in the last 5 years. But like most Latin guys who get around, he knows how to pour on those crocodile tears, so she always takes them back. For the ladies, it boils down to limited options. And for Latinas, their only option are the local boys. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I've heard a Latina say, after she's been cheated on multiple times, I'm never going out with Latino guys again. And then I see her 6 months, a year later, and she's out with Latinos again. Why? Because there's no other options. Sure, they'd love to have a gringo or European boyfriend. That's a big part of the gringo advantage. And lady gringas out there, you've got a big gringa advantage too. Practically every single Latino guy I know would love to have a gringa girlfriend. But the odds are ridiculously small against that too, because there are so very few gringas here in Latin America. So Latinas prefer a gringo boyfriend and Latinos prefer a gringa girlfriend. But you see, there are so few of us around, especially off the gringo tourist trail. You heard me say many times before, you can walk around all day and not even see a gringo, even in the biggest Latin cities, as long as they're cities that are off the tourist trail. However, if you're on the gringo tourist trail, like Cancun, Costa Rica, and many cities in Mexico, there are certainly enough single gringos and gringas to go around. But there are other big problems with living on the gringo tourist trail that don't necessarily make up for the advantage you have in the love, romance, and mating and dating department. The problem is, the deeper you get into the tourist trail, you'll find the locals become jaded by the gringo dollar. And as a general rule, the more English a Latina or Latino speaks, the more gringoized they are. And unfortunately, the more likely they are to accumulate all those first world bad habits we're trying to get away from when putting together our get the hell out of Dodge plan B. You don't want history repeating itself. As they say, you don't want to jump out of the frying pan and into the fire. All right, changing gears a bit. You know, at our Expat Insider seminars, we always go to a place called Echo Filter. It's a factory where they make a really cool and inexpensive water filter. One that I recommend all gringos and expats get if they're living in Guatemala or anywhere in Central America. It's a gravity feed, so you don't need any power. It's got a ceramic element, so it gets rid of all the virus, bacteria, and cysts. It's got an activated charcoal element to get rid of the organics, you know, herbicides, pesticides, that kind of stuff. And it's coated with colloidal silver. Anyway, they're very cool and inexpensive, but pretty fragile, so once you got it on the counter, you want to leave it there. You don't want to transport it too much because the ceramic element can break. Anyway, a couple of years back when we visited the place, the owner said, Johnny, a brand new thing's happened to us. Because we use solar power, and he showed me they got solar panels covering the entire roof of the factory. And they use no heating or air conditioning because the factory's wide open. They've got no walls. Plus, they've got an organic garden, and they grow all organic food, and they have a chef in a kitchen to cook for all the employees using that food. Anyway, he said a lot of people come through on tours, first world people. Engineers, chemists, biologists, many first world innovator types. And he said, one guy said to him, man, you know, you can get carbon credits for all this stuff because you're completely off the grid. Well, he said, Johnny, I don't know anything about carbon credits, but I applied, I got them, and people like Bill Gates and Microsoft are buying my carbon credits. So we make a ton of money on top of our truly innovative water filter products by selling carbon credits to dickheads like Bill Gates. No, he didn't call him a dickhead, I did. I think he called him an asswipe. Can't remember. Oh, well. Tomato, tomato, if the shoe fits, whatever. Anyway, it seems even some of the smartest people are confused about these carbon credits. And here in Latin America, more and more modern factories are applying for and getting those things. So to alleviate a little confusion, here's the story. Turns out, you see, by 2030, most big companies in the world, at least in the first world, will have to be net carbon zero. Many environmental laws have been passed to force that outcome. That means the majority of companies will have to buy carbon credits to get net zero. Because a giant company can only get their carbon footprint down so low. They can't get it to zero. They can go solar or buy electric vehicles, but they've got heating and air conditioning and supply costs. And if it's, let's say, a bottling plant, they've got to smelt glass or fabricate tin or metal cans. That takes huge amounts of energy, fossil fuel energy. So for them to go zero carbon, they'd have to fire or kill all their workers and get robots. But that's not possible because robots don't exist for every task. So you have to go to a zero-carbon broker who will sell you credits from a place that grows trees or has gone 100% wind, solar, or geothermal. So you as a producer buy the right to pollute by buying carbon credits from some other company that's gone green and seems to be saving the planet. So this is a gigantic worldwide push that's creating an entire industry that never even existed before, done by decree by all the major countries in the world who know nothing about producing a product or doing business. It's all government decree. You know how that's going to turn out, since everything they touch turns to shit. Everything. But you knew that already, right? Anyway, you know what that means, don't you? If you drive a gas vehicle, over the years it's going to be harder and harder to be able to maintain that thing and get gas for it, because gas prices are going to zoom with oil companies taxed out of existence because the world's been convinced they're damaging, not saving the planet. That also means, by the way, if you bought some land and there were lots of trees on it, it was a forest, you could get those carbon credits and sell them. You don't have to ever cut your trees. You'll make money just sitting on them. It's exactly how the whole world is going to run. That's what they're called, carbon offsets. What that also means is every time you get on a plane, you're going to pay an extra tax for flying to Denver or Europe, because jets use non-renewable fuels. And airlines and companies like Boeing and Airbus are going to have to buy carbon credits to offset their fossil fuel and carbon footprint, and you and I are going to pay for all that. With governments getting most of that cut, and they'll waste and squander all that excess money like they always do. Once again, the bureaucrats think it's a good idea, but it's going to have very terrible unintended consequences. But bureaucrats don't care about that. When prices rise, they just give themselves raises, don't they? But go into any Starbucks and ask the barista, the guy with the full sleeve tats, the nose ring, two masks, and a face shield. Ask him what he thinks about carbon. He'll say it's toxic, it's poisonous, it's warming the planet, it's going to kill us all. Anyway, by 2030, we'll all be forced to buy in. You buy a product and you'll see an additional tax on the receipt. It'll be a carbon tax. So then why do taxes exist? They exist to feather the pockets of bureaucrats and to incentivize everyone else's behavior, everyone who makes a product or provides a service other than government. In other words, people who actually work for a living. And by the end of the decade, the feds are going to track every single dollar in existence. By then, it'll all be digital dollars. And I'm sure you'll be getting text messages from the feds telling you you've had too many Red Bulls this week and you can't buy anymore till the beginning of next month. Oh, and you say you got a couple of cars, a house in the city, and a beach house? You got a big carbon footprint, my friend, says Uncle Sam. You're going to get whacked with a carbon tax. Yep, that's where the world's going. But thank God, due to lag time, the last place that system's going to kick in Latin America. Due to that wonderful thing called Latin American lag time, whatever happens up there by you in Cleveland, Milwaukee, and New York will take 20 years or more to make its way down here. Which begs the question, how's your plan be coming? South
of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos. No Spanish language.